You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies go out and get a win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Of course they do. That is exactly what they do. They're the opposite of what they're probably supposed to do or probably should have done, but that's okay. A win is a win, and we will take it. We'll talk about that game coming up on today's show, as well as continue our conversation with the Grizz Gaming guys. Today on today's show, we have Brandon Rowdenbush, a guy of West Palm Beach, and one of the older guys I've actually met in just kind of the gaming community. He's like 27 is what he said. So an older guy, second year in the league, played last year for Cavs, Cavs Legion, their gaming team up there for Cleveland. And he was selected. He was released by the Cavs last year, and he went back into the draft pool this year, and was selected by the Grizzlies in the third round. So, again, Brandon joined me for today's show. Conversation and just kind of ranges from how they started gaming to kind of what their favorite things are, what they like to do besides gaming. So, it's the conversations are really fun and really cool. So, again, I appreciate the guys over at Grizz Gaming letting me come by and talk to all of them and just, you know, really get to know them. And again, something that's probably new to most people is in just regular NBA circles is the gaming community. So, but you know, I like it. I think it's really cool. So we're going to continue to cover it on this show. Again, that'll be the last segment of the show, my conversation with Brandon. But let's talk about this Grizzlies game. The Grizzlies I'm so used to saying they lose. The Grizzlies win to the win against the Thunder, 115-103. And Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams, not good at all. A game that Mike Conley didn't play again because of rest. Again, a game that I thought he was going to play. And kind of go out and become the all-time franchise leader in points, but they decided to sit him. But the Grizzlies started Tyler Dorsey and DeLon Wright again. Tyler Dorsey, I mean, kid had another really good game. Kid can shoot the ball. I mean, 3 for 5 from three, 21 points, 5 assists, 8 rebounds. I mean, I jokingly said it on Twitter again last night that Tyler Dorsey better than DeLon Wright. I don't know. I mean, I think they're both good. I mean, and it'd be ideal for both of them to turn out to be players. Obviously, I mean, you'd rather have more than not. And DeLon Wright looked good last night. DeLon Wright had 18 points and 13 assists. That version of DeLon Wright that we saw last night is the ideal version of what you want from DeLon Wright. That's who he is. Is driving to the basket and getting and setting other people up for shots. That is who he is. That is what you want for the future. That's what you need. And so seeing him being able to do that, and obviously the biggest issue with that kind of scenario and that kind of player is that if you don't have other players around DeLon Wright that are good at shooting the ball or good at making plays, him setting people up doesn't matter. Like if they can't make the shots, it doesn't matter. But last night they made the shots. And so you saw different, you know, you saw what you expect DeLon Wright to be is someone who can score the basketball, get into the interior in the paint, pass the ball really well. Passes the ball very, very well. His court vision is just insane. But get into the paint, pass the ball really well, set other people up for shots. That is the version of DeLon Wright that everybody thinks he can be. Everybody thinks he should be. That's the version that Joe Mullenix lives for. So he was amazing last night. And the Grizzlies really just, I mean, they were good last night. They had, you know, just a lot of people step up that, you know, normally don't do so. And speaking of Jonas Valanciunas, again, just continues to do the things that he does. 18 points, 14 rebounds last night. Just an absolute beast on the boards. I mean, we've never really had someone besides Zach Randolph that rebounds the basketball like this. Never really had someone that plays a post game like this. I mean, Zach had a post game to him, but he had that little silky jumper too. But like Jonas is just a bully on the block, and it's refreshing. It's different. It's fun. I love watching Jonas Valanciunas play, and I know that his timeline doesn't match up and all these things that I've said, that other people said, that he's 28 years old. He's too old to match up with Jaren's timeline as far as rebuilding. But I personally, I think I want to see him back next year. I want to see him back next year, and I want to see him back for a long-term deal. I think that I'm there. I am okay with saying that. I think he's fun to watch. I mean, he just plays a different style of basketball than probably we are used to seeing. And he was doing some of these type of things in Toronto too. He just wasn't getting the same amount of minutes. You know, he's only playing like 20, 22 minutes in Toronto, but now you're seeing him playing 30 minutes a night, and he's able to average 20 and 10. I mean, in the past few games, it's, you know, 13, 14. He had 24 rebounds the other night. I mean, I'm excited to watch Jonas Valanciunas play. I really wish I could have seen Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson play this year. I really wish that could have happened, because I would have loved to see those guys play together, because they're so exciting. Both of them just individually. I think they would combine for a very, very good pairing, in the game, but it's just, obviously it's so hard to just say that and without actually seeing it. It's just hard to say, oh yeah, that will work out great without actually seeing, you know, their styles playing together. So hopefully, you know, I would presume again that Jonas Valanciunas is back next year. You know, it's $17 million. So it would surprise me if he didn't come back. Someone else that was good last year is Bruno, or last night there's Bruno Caboclo. Like really good last night. What you really wanted him to be, you saw him last night just go out and do the things that you wanted him to do, the things that you kind of signed him to do. It was 4 from 7 from three, 24 points, 11 rebounds. That's the version of Bruno Caboclo you want. I mean, between Bruno, DeLon Wright, Tyler Dorsey, you saw the best versions of themselves last night. Will that continue? Probably not. But you saw what you hoped that each player could be. And if those players could be that person, you know, not 24 points on every night basis, but like a scalable version of that. So if Bruno is 2 for 3 from three, or 2 for 4 or something like that from three, you know, makes a couple 3-pointers every night, rebounds the ball well. I mean, you're not asking him to score 24, but you're asking him to score, you know, 10 to 12. Same thing with DeLon Wright. Same thing with Tyler Dorsey. We've talked about on this show before. You need consistent role players in the NBA, and that's something the Grizzlies have lacked for a long time. Just consistency off the bench, to know that when you go to those guys, you're going to get X amount of points, X amount of rebounds on a mostly given night. Obviously, they're going to have their bad nights, but for the most part, that's what you're going to get. And so we saw the best versions of those role players last night, and it all kind of combined into a just kind of really, really great storm of basketball for the Grizzlies. And you know, the Thunder didn't want to play that game. I mean, they didn't want to be there. Paul George took 29 shots from them. Was 5 for 15 from 3 for 30 points, 10 or 12 rebounds. I mean, beyond that, there wasn't much there. And it took him 29 shots to get 30 points. So, you know, the Thunder have been, I think they're 1-6 or 1-5 over the last six, have not been great last night. I just assumed that they have really good basketball players, and the Grizzlies were missing 7 rotation players. And, you know, that's what I get for assuming, I guess. But, you know, I'm fine with it. I'll take the wins. However they come, I will take the wins. Let's take a quick break. On the other side of this break, we'll continue this conversation about the game. We'll check in and see where the Grizzlies stack up in the reverse standings and see what they have coming up in the next few days. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It's 1080 Full HD. The images are so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision and two-way audio. Wyze has one mission, is to bring amazing smart home products and make it accessible to every single person. If you're on vacation and want to check on your house, all you have to do is log into their app and see the live stream from anywhere in the world. If you're on vacation, if you want to make sure your dogs are okay, if you want to make sure that your plants have been watered, literally you can watch anything you want to watch from anywhere in the world with the Wyze Cam at just $20 a camera. It is super, super affordable. And even bigger bonus, they have a free 14-day rolling cloud storage and no subscriptions. I know that every single time you get something, there's always that hidden thing as you have to subscribe. Well, with Wyze Cam, there is no subscriptions at all. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360 degrees of coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. You can also track action. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. You want to watch your pets while you're on vacation? It's literally never been easier, as the Wyze Cam Pan will keep up with the motion as it crosses the field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. It even works with Alexa. It also works on your smartphone from literally anywhere in the world. Go to wyze.com/locked. That's wyze.com, wyze.com/locked. You'll get the lowest price available. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Let's continue talking about this game. It was exciting. It was fun to watch. It reminds me of one of those games in years past where the Grizzlies had injuries out and just random people just step up. I mean, again, it doesn't hurt the fact that the Thunder did not want to be in this game at all. And that's becoming a more of a common theme against these playoff teams. They come to the Grizzlies and you overlook them. And you're like, oh, it's fine. They're super bad. We'll beat them, no problem. And the Grizzlies are coming out to play. So credit to them. They are coming out ready to play every single night. I wish it was against the Orlando Magic as well. But you can't win them all. But again, these guys are overlooking the Grizzlies. And it's something that it's a continual theme with these playoff teams that coming into Memphis. And the Grizzlies have made the Forum hard to play in, for sure. And so they've really, really struggled on the road over the past few weeks, but at home they've been really, really good. And so hopefully that will continue as they go and take on the Warriors on Wednesday night. But everything was just kind of a perfect storm, for this Grizzlies team. They didn't get much off the bench. Javon Carter did get to play 17 minutes. He was 0-for-7 from the field, just 2 points, was not very good. Ivan Rabb also played. He's beginning to get more minutes now that Joakim Noah was not available last night because of knee soreness. I mentioned he was doubtful. He did not play, but Ivan Rabb got those minutes. 18 minutes, 2-for-6, 7 points, 5 rebounds. I thought he was good. You know, I don't think the stats probably show that, but I thought he was good. And that's not because I like Ivan Rabb. That's because I thought he played well against the Thunder. Beyond that, Chandler Parsons was 8 points, 25 minutes, which is all right. You know, not really good at all. He's kind of come back down to earth after those few games. He probably played really well. But again, Chandler Parsons kind of gets the benefit of the doubt for me, as, you know, I think his probably body has failed him. And so anything you get from him, I think, is good at this point. I know that he gives up a lot on defense, but anything you can kind of get from him, 8 to 12 points a night, I think is productive. And so, I kind of give Chandler Parsons a pass on some of these things, just because I think he's dealing with some things that are probably more difficult than we realize. So again, the Grizzlies take on the Warriors on Wednesday night, at home. So hopefully the Warriors come in and they don't want to play either. That would be ideal, because the Grizzlies are now in tied with seventh, in the reverse standings. They are 30-44, tied with Washington, at 30-44 as well. New Orleans is right ahead of them at 31-44 in the ninth spot. Lakers at 32-41, Dallas at 29-44 in the sixth spot. So those are the teams they're kind of fighting for. Minnesota's at 33-40, although I don't think they'll probably have, I don't think they'll get up to 11th. I don't think they'll catch Minnesota, but, New Orleans, Lakers in that 31-32 range, in the ninth, 10th spot. I think it's super doable. I mean, and it depends on what the Grizzlies do over the last, few games here. But I think it's definitely doable. They have they have the Warriors coming up on Wednesday. Again, I said it again the past two previews for these games is that they'll probably lose. So I'll just say it again now. They'll probably lose. Let's hope they win. But they'll probably lose. And if they somehow surprise us, that would be such a Grizzlies thing to do. That's what I've said the past two times. Hopefully that works. I don't know. But then you have Phoenix at the Clippers. At Phoenix, at LA, at Portland, at Dallas, and you play back to back with Dallas. They come back to Memphis, at Detroit, and then Golden State. You know that Phoenix game is really winnable. The Clippers game, we've seen them beat the Clippers. I don't think the Portland game is winnable. The Dallas games are both winnable. That Pistons and Golden State game at the end of the year, eh. So, I mean, like, but, you know, there's opportunity for them to get at least three, if not four more wins over this final stretch. I think it's definitely doable. Will it happen? I don't know. I mean, the Grizzlies are just all over the place. Again, they're playing great against Oklahoma City and Houston Rockets, and they're playing terrible against Minnesota and Orlando. So, you know, they're really all over the place. So it's really, really hard to tell and get a gauge on this Grizzlies team. So we'll see as that continues to unfold. Tomorrow we'll have Joe Mullenix on our show. He'll help us break it down as well. He wrote a good article today. We'll talk about that with him. We'll preview the Warriors game as well. But now let's turn to our conversation with Brandon, also known as Toxic, as his gamer tag in Grizz Gaming. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. Again, it's a conversation just with him about himself, about what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he does off the court, what he's not playing games, what other video games he likes. Literally, it's kind of the same conversation that we had on yesterday's show with the Universal Phenom. So I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, make sure you let me know. So how did you get into gaming?
I mean, I always grew up playing, Xbox at a young age. My brother was real big into gaming, so he kind of introduced me to it, and I started off playing Halo 1 when I was younger on the original Xbox, and I used to go over to my neighbor's houses, and we would set up two Xboxes and play against each other from different rooms, and to me, that really drew me in, and I fell in love with that. From there, I continue on to, like, I've started playing Halo 2. Where I eventually started going to, like, local tournaments around my area, winning money. And I eventually went and became a professional Halo player for Halo 2 and Halo 3. I did that from about the age of 15 to about 18. Always played 2K, always played sports games, Madden, etc. But I really fell in love with, like, the competition side of it from doing Halo. And then from there, I got into the 2K League and just been gaming ever since.
Is this your first league? First year in the league?
This is my second season. Year. I played with the Cavs in season one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did that go for you guys?
I mean, I loved it. Like, again, I'm from West Palm, so it's super different. You know, being in Cleveland, I'm used to warm weather, and it's not like that there. But it was great. You know, all the guys were super cool. Great organization. You know, we made a good run. We lost by 2 points in semifinals to go to the finals of the 2K League. So a lot of fun, great experiences, and just I enjoyed it. So.
And I'm assuming they didn't protect you, so that's how you got back in
into
the draft.
Exactly.
Is there a point that you, I guess, at what point when you're playing video games, do you realize this is you can make this a profession? At some what point do you know
yeah,
that's something you can do?
It's tough. Like, I don't think at any point I really ever saw it to, like, this stature. Mm-hmm. Before the 2K League, I started to realize that, like, Twitch was really growing and that there was a serious income on that side. So I started taking my live stream pretty serious, and I did that for a long time, became partnered on Twitch, was making a decent income, you know, from just sitting at home playing in my room. But then once I found out the league, made the league, and once I got to Cleveland and, like, started getting paychecks from Cleveland, like, that's when I knew, like, all right, this is serious. Like, you know what I mean? I'm making anywhere from $4,000 to $5,000 a month playing the game, living in an apartment for free, traveling for free. Groceries are paid for. That's when I started in 401ks, like health insurance, that kind of stuff. Like, once I saw that stuff, like, I was like, all right, you know, I could be in this for a long time, and this could be a career.
You mentioned Halo 1. Like, right. At what point did you transfer? Like, did you realize, okay, that, all right, 2K is a viable source now with the new league, with the new esports?
Right.
Was there a point where you said, okay, I've got to just devote all my time to 2K?
Yeah, sort of. Like, Halo started to go on the downfall. And then that's when I was kind of in my college years. And so I kind of shifted my focus. I played college basketball as well down in Miami at a school called St. Thomas University. So my time was a lot into basketball in college, but I was still playing. I would play 2K because like all my teammates would play in the dorm rooms and stuff for fun. So once I kind of made that shift and then took my streaming serious, and then, you know, they announced the league. And even when they announced the league, I was like, nah, there's no way it can be like that big. The NBA is not going to be behind something like that. And once like it started to come out and I did the combine process and everything, and I actually made the draft, I was like, damn, like, I could actually make this thing. And once that happened, I knew, like, all right, I need to go full in on 2K and see what I could do with this.
Do you think that it changes things once the NBA is behind it?
Oh, yeah.
Versus just some it being an independent league?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because the NBA is such a globally known, you know, association. So, like, anything like that, there's no other esports right now that has something that big backing it. So, like, having that right there just boosted tremendously. So, I think it helps it extremely. I mean, you know, you have, you know, MLG is extremely big. Major League Gaming, they do things. They're probably some of the biggest things in the world. And even then, they have nothing as big as the NBA. So to have that is just, it's tremendous.
So you played college basketball?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what were you, forward?
No, I played shooting guard.
Shooting guard?
Yeah.
I guess there's a point you just realized that's not going
to Yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of like, you know, we get to that day and age where it's like, man, my coach would always tell me, like, you know, it's gonna come a time where you had to hang up the shoes, and like I never wanted to really believe it. But I mean, when you're playing with like 7 foot centers and like you got swing guards that are dunking on people, it's like, yeah, it's not really me. You know what yeah. I mean? So it was tough, but this is kind of like my way of being in the NBA without actually being the player that sure. I thought I wanted to be. You know what I mean? So it's cool that I get to do it on the virtual side.
Yeah, I always joke with people on the same thing. Like, I clearly can't play basketball, so this is like the next best thing. Right. Just try to cover.
Exactly.
You know, like
exactly.
Just be as close as you
Being
can.
Being close to the sport is like yeah. something I always want to do. So it's cool to do it this way.
Yeah, that's cool. Favorite video game of all time?
Halo 2.
Of all time?
I love it. I would play that game all day, all night. All Loved right. it.
And if you're not playing 2K, are you playing Halo? Or is there anything else?
Nah, it's because like Halo right now. Like Halo just died. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So for me, not really. Like, if I'm not in here like playing with the guys or getting better, I'm in my, you know, I'm playing 2K at home streaming and trying to grow my brand, you know, right. and doing that kind of stuff. Other than that, I mean, the new Apex Legends game is super fun. I enjoy that a lot, playing with my friends. I was on the Fortnite wave for a little bit, mm-hmm. and then people just got like way too good for me, so I just stopped. So like, yeah. but when I'm chilling, like I like to play Apex or something like that. It's just fun.
Are you a Rocket League guy?
I've never actually played it.
It's fun.
That's
my game of choice when I'm not playing 2K.
It looks fun.
It is fun. My 9-year-old loves it. He's actually probably better than me, but let's see. All right. Favorite food?
There's a lot of good ones, though. There's a lot of good ones. Like,
how long have you guys been here in Memphis? Not long, right?
How long? Probably like a week.
Yeah, not long. I thought I was thinking like a week or two.
They have super good barbecue. I mean, I can say that. That's for sure. But my favorite food... Yeah, I love like spicy chicken sandwiches. Yeah. Like,
has Lang taken you guys to Gus's yet?
No,
or has he got Gus's for
but,
you yet?
But Phenom always talks about it and says it's yeah. like the best spot. We had like Rendezvous, which was good, and then I had a place called Central Barbecue that was probably the best barbecue I've had.
It's the best one.
Yeah,
Rendezvous is trash. Okay. Central is the best.
Well, then I guess they're pointing me in the wrong direction.
Make them take you to Gus's. You'll be good.
All right.
Favorite NBA player?
Dwayne Wade. Growing okay. up in South Florida, like, you know, I mean, Wade County, like, I remember at a young age watching the 2006 finals with him. Just, like, he's always been someone I've watched at a young age, and he's kind of grown on me. Obviously, I love LeBron. Like, it's a LeBron era. But favorite player, like, Dwayne Wade, definitely like, a person I look up to in the community, being so close to where I'm from and everything he does on and off the court and the way he carries himself. Like, that's a guy that I definitely look up to as a player.
I'm assuming Heat fan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Have you always been a basketball fan? And you obviously play basketball, but so have you always been growing up? Is there?
Yeah. For the most part, my parents, they're real big football, and my family's real big in football. You know, my whole family went to Florida State, so my dad was real big on Florida State growing up, and always had me in front of the TV watching the football games. Always when they had Chris Winkie, like. I was always watching Florida State, so I'm a diehard Florida State fan. Like, those are the type of things, like, I can't go out and watch those games. I got to be at home. But, yeah, like, from then, I started playing basketball, and I played football first, but when I started playing basketball, I just fell in love with it. And from there, like, I just stuck with it and did it ever since, and, you know, played high school, AAU, college, and I love competing in basketball and playing basketball my whole life.
right. What on the team, what position are you playing?
I play small forward, lockdown defender.
All right. Why choose that position?
Well, last year I played a sharpshooter role last year, which is more of like a Ray Allen, like Mike Miller type role. Right. And I just felt like with my experience in esports and the way I'm able to communicate with my team that, you know, playing a position such as a lockdown, it's such a vital position and you're kind of like the engine. And so like if I'm playing well and I'm communicating well, then our whole team is playing well and we're all kind of working as a unit and a group. And I knew that I was someone that could do that at the highest level and it could help my team. So I wanted to have a big role. And I wanted to do something that could help us get to the next level. And so I just knew being a lockdown defender, ultimately it's my job to stop their best player. And I'm confident in myself with doing that. So I went with that and just kind of never looked back with it.
I love how the two people you name are Ray Allen and Mike Miller, two Heat guys.
I mean, come on, close to home.
So what do you, beyond defense, what are you trying to bring to the team this year?
Well, I'm one of the older guys. I guess you consider me like an older player in the league. I'm 27. So like I said, I come from Halo as well. I've played in live environments. I've played in big tournaments with, you know, hundreds of people there watching me. And for a lot of these guys, like, you know, I know we have returning players, but for the new guys, like, that's new. And it's not sitting in your bedroom anymore. It's not, you're not in your comfort zone anymore. So I think I bring experience. I bring leadership. I think I bring maturity. I'm able to talk to the guys and share, you know, my experiences and things I've gone through in esports, not only in 2K, but in Halo. And I'm able to kind of, you know, mold them and help them and guide them to make them as comfortable as I can and just be that voice for them and make sure we're all on the same page.
How different is it going from, you know, like playing in your room to now you're going, guys are flying to New York every time playing in an arena?
It's still 2K, but it's a whole different game. You know what I mean? Like, playing your room, like, who cares if you mess up? You know what I mean? Like, no one cares. Like, at the end of the day, you're just playing your room. When you're sitting in New York and there's hundreds of people and all these cameras are in your face and you know there's, you know, thousands of people watching on Twitch, like, you make one mistake, everyone's in the chat talking about you. You hear it in the crowd, you know what I mean? So it's a whole other factor that you have to factor into the game. So it's a whole different game within the game, for sure.
Is there an NBA player that you try to model your 2K game after? Not necessarily, obviously, your basketball, but your 2K game. If that makes sense.
Well, like, this year, me, you know, being locked down is a new position for me, and I'm in Memphis. Like, I like to think of myself as, like, a Tony Allen type guy. Grit and grind type of guy, in your face, like, in your shorts, creating turnovers, creating havoc, and able to knock down, like, corner threes and stuff. So I like to make my game around someone like that, like a Tony Allen type role.
Thanks again to Brandon for talking with me. We had that conversation last week. They were all at the practice facility. So again, thanks to him for joining me on the show. I really appreciate it. If you're not already subscribed in iTunes, please do so. If you're not already subscribed on any other platform, please do so. We're on every single podcast platform you can think of: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, iTunes. If you have a moment in iTunes, you have a moment you can go rate and review the podcast, please do so. It really helps us in the iTunes rankings. I really, really appreciate that. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this show, please email me at lockedongrizz@gmail.com. We have a lot of great rates. We can talk about it. It would be super beneficial for your business. If you're not already following us on Twitter, please do so at lockedongrizz. That's where you can continue the conversation after the show. If you still don't know where to go after all that, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.